do. Lower to the grave, tell you like it is to your face. She don't play. Every chick down for it all, know that she a boss. No competition, no loss. From the Midwest to the A, all them got you tuning in, no delay. Ooh, get you right every time. Keep you laughing on a dime. Tell you truth, no lies, so you can live your best life. Cover all topics, no limits. Got something for your mama and your children, no holding back. No gimmicks, coming on strong, get straight to business. Oh yeah.
What she wanna do?
Live life, live life.
She
live
what she wanna do.
Live life, live life.
She live what she wanna do.
Live life, live life.
She live what she wanna do.
Live life, live life, live life. Live life, live life.
Hey, it's your girl Autumn, and I welcome you back to the Lit Life Podcast, where I encourage you to live your life autonomously. Let me tell y'all something. Look, I'm over here. If you're watching me, like, I'm over here. I'm like not even together. Okay, the first thing we're gonna do is we just gonna send some good energy. So I'm gonna send some good energy to myself. And hope that nothing happens with my audio, because it was working just fine, and then I had an issue, and then I couldn't get it to fucking come on, and now it's back on. So hopefully I don't have no issues, okay? Primarily because, and I want y'all to be proud of me, because I'm in this motherfucker right now, okay? It is 11:12 p.m. Thursday night. So If you listen to this on Friday, October 6th, that means the night before I was up. Now, if it don't come out until, you know, Saturday or some shit, because it's going to come out, because I'm excited about this shit. It just is what it is. Just, you know, charge it to just me over here being tired and whatever, because I don't know if I told y'all this, but I work West Coast hours. So, and shit's getting real now. Like, you know, I've been at this job now for a little over a year. And I'm starting to get, you know, more responsibilities, whatever, what have you. And so, like, some of the stuff that I used to kind of skip out on, I can't really skip out on anymore. So, during times where we're having go lives, which is going to be three, four times a year, I have to just ride it out. Like, I have, like, you know, I can flex my time sometimes, but in most cases I have to work until like 8:30. And earlier this week, I basically I was thinking of episodes, and again, I have plenty of content, y'all. Like, seriously, sometimes I go into this thing where I'm trying to, like, figure out exactly which one of these topics I want to talk about. Like, there's a couple of topics that I want to talk about that I don't think I've ever really talked about on here, but it's a little what do I want to call it, like, it shows my vulnerability, like, but I always do that on here, but not about that type of stuff. So, like, I have a couple of different things, right, that I want us to talk about. But today, I'm listening to, I'll get into that later, because then I was getting ready to get into the show. But anyway, so it's Thursday. It's 11:15 at this point in time. I'm in this motherfucker. We about to get this episode off, and I'm happy about it. Now, what has gone on in the past week? I didn't have any air conditioning. Granted, it was not hot outside. Like, it wasn't extremely hot. It was stuffy because, you know, heat rises. So it was, you know, we were in the 80s, very low 80s, and it, you know, it was stuffy upstairs. So it took a little while for it to cool down upstairs and for me to be comfortable upstairs. But I called the home warranty company, which, surprisingly, I've I had one issue with, but whatever. It wasn't nothing too major. You know, some people have huge issues with these home warranty companies. But I just called them, and like, it was part of it, not part of it, but one of the days was my own fault, because I just, sometimes I freak out and then I just have to like just sit around, and then I'd be like, okay, I'll call. So it was one of them. I didn't call till the next day. Like a whole day went by and I did, and I called them that next day, cause I noticed it at night. And then, so that next day I didn't call. And so then the next day I called. So anyways, so I had to call them back. Like, did y'all get the party? And they're like, yeah, we'll be out there Wednesday. So they came yesterday. And again, like, it's, the air has kicked on a couple of times. Just, I think it's just out of, just a little bit of stuffiness. And it's been at the peak of the day, you know, when the sun is high in the sky, whatever. Either way it goes. I also went to Home Depot. Well, let me back up. I have been trying to find somebody to install screens in my windows, because none of the screens fit. I think maybe in the front window in the house where the steps are that I'm never going to open, that one fits just fine. But the rest of them, it's like they just went and did it themselves. And now that I've actually like priced it, I understand why. I have 8 windows in this house. I need 7 screens. The one place I called was like, well, it's a minimum of 10 screens, and the minimum amount for that is $650. And I was like, bitch, I know you motherfucking lying. Like, what? $650? Like, and of course, you know, you don't have to get 10, but the minimum amount to spend is $650. I ain't even called nobody else back after that. What I did was, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try this shit out. I went to motherfucking the Devil's Palace, which is Home Depot, because I fucking hate that place. And I got a like one of those what you call it, the window screen that like, it's an adjustable window screen. It's like half of the window. It's like a quarter of the window. I should have just said a quarter, right? You put it in there and then you pull the window down and it seals. So I put it in there. I got 4 of them. I brought them home. And first of all, I was like, why did you need 4 of them? You're not going to have 4 windows open at one time. Maybe 2, maybe 1 for upstairs and 1 for downstairs. Okay. Then I looked at all of them, and like 3 of them in the middle of it, it's like not sealed. There's an opening there. So I'm going to have to take those 3 back. I'll get another one if there's one that fits, you know, and I'll have 1 for downstairs and 1 for upstairs. And I'm going to let that be that. So, you know, crisis averted. You know, if one day, if I have the time and the patience and the money to get new screens in my house, then I'll do that. But for now, I think this will be fine. Like I said, I put the one upstairs in my room. So, right by where PJ's little bed thing is. And so she's been loving it, just looking out the window or whatever have you. So that happened. I don't even know what else happened. And you know what? I don't really care, because I'm just really ready to get into this. So let's get this shit started. Shut the fuck up. God damn, nigga. Short and sweet, because again, I'm just trying to get to the show. My Shut the Fuck Up Award. First of all, welcome. Anybody that has never been here before, this is everybody's favorite part of the show. It is the Shut the Fuck Up Award. And this is where you could tell a person, a place, a thing, a fucking group of people, a whatever. Whoever you want to tell to shut the fuck up, you could tell to shut the fuck up right here on the Lit Life Podcast. I am going to tell any and everybody who has anything to do with any NFL broadcast. When motherfucking Kansas City is playing, we do not want to hear about motherfucking Taylor Swift's ass. We don't want to fucking hear about her. We're over it, okay? Okay, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? She done got with a football player. Okay, whatever, what have you. good. Why is, I'm not understanding why this is the most talked about thing outside of the football game. Like, this is the most talked about thing at the football game. I turned it on. I turned that game on for maybe 10 minutes. And I was over it already. I already have to see the shit all around Twitter. Then everybody is mad because he was with a black girl, or he used to date black girls or whatever. And now he got, you know, he went to Taylor Swift. And I wish people would understand that white men have a fetish for black women. So he got his fetish off. He did what he had to do. And he probably still got a black woman that he's fucking on the side that he got, you know, tucked in or whatever. I would not put it past that motherfucker. And he got Taylor. So fucking what? I don't care. Okay? I'm over it. Okay? So, please, we don't want to hear shit else about Taylor Swift. Talk about the motherfucking game. Let me know what the fuck is going on at the game. That's what I would like to know. That's what I would like to hear. That's it. Okay? All right. Boom. So, I have been sitting here and I've been prepping this podcast pretty much all day. So, I was listening to an album from 1993 and an R&B album from 1993, and was like, it literally just came to me. Like, I'm about to do, I've been trying to figure out like what type of series, because y'all know I like doing little series. Remember I had the 10 words, 10 episodes. I thought that was so much fun. So I wanted to do another series. The series, first of all, they help keep me on track. This particular series is mapped out all the way. I don't have to think about anything else. The only thing I have to do is gather the information that I have, you know, the information that I need to talk about it. And that's it. Like, it's literally, I have 10 episodes mapped out. Okay. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and, and I don't know, maybe it won't go over 10 weeks. Maybe I'll drop two at a time, whatever. But this week, well, this Friday, y'all only going to get one, because goddamn it, it's late. So I was sitting there and I was like, you know what? I have been wanting to do album reviews and things of that nature. I'm not sure that I wanted to put the work into it. Like, I wanted to do like special things, like a little throw a little razzle dazzle on it. Like I'm about to try to do now. My fingers are crossed. Hopefully it goes fine. And also, there's so much music. Especially from the 90s, there's so much music that just holds near and dear to my heart. Like, I just love it, and I love revisiting it. Like, some of these albums that I'm going to talk to you all about over the next 10 episodes, some of them were kind of forgotten a little bit by me, like as if it wasn't something that I listened to all the time at that time, right? So I'm just so excited about it. You guys see the title, A Decade of R&B. And we're going to start with the year 1990. So much good music, y'all. So much good music. Okay, let me see if I can do this. Let's get started. Oh, y'all see me up here. Do y'all see me? Hopefully y'all see me, okay? Got my little slide deck. We about to motherfucking do this. Okay, y'all. I'm excited. Are y'all excited? I'm so motherfucking excited. Okay, boom. Here is what I did for A Decade of R&B. Every episode is going to feature three albums. It'll be kind of just a brief overview of the album, how I feel about the album, my favorite songs from the album. And that's that. Like, that's literally it. I'm going to try to keep it as, I don't want to necessarily want to say short, but, you know, I'm going to try not to ramble, because this music makes me feel so good, and I will ramble. Like, I will go on and on about it. I might even shed a tear because I'm sitting here listening to this music earlier because I made myself listen to all three of these albums today. And I literally had tears in my eyes, y'all. Like, I don't know if there's anything that I love the way that I love music. And these albums, although I think we've already kind of made that decision that, you know, the 90s was truly about R&B, like the best R&B that you'll probably ever hear. And when I say that, I mean, and that's no shade to whatever, whoever the fuck, whatever the fuck is going on now, but just the soul of it. And somebody tweeted, excuse me, somebody, I still got this cough, y'all, ain't that crazy. Somebody tweeted and said something on the lines of, like they were saying, you know, R&B doesn't sound, you know, we'll never have this much soul in R&B. And somebody was like, that's because people aren't growing up singing in the church. And I don't think they were saying it in a judgy Christian way. I think they were just saying, like, you know, when they went to church and they sang in the church, that's where they got that deep ass soul. And soul, right? I felt that. Like, I was like, damn, they right. Like, you don't really hear about any newer artists saying that they grew up in the church or that they grew up singing in the church. And everything is just sounds so, is it melodic? Is that the word I'm looking for? It's like just so, there's some good music, you know, some of it, it really is good, but it's not even neo soul. It's just soft, I guess you could say, but it's kind of soft and a little thuggish, like people are actually saying stuff like, you know, like fuck these niggas or like whatever, like in R&B. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe we might have had a little bit of it back then. Maybe. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, but maybe it wasn't as graphic either. So anyways, I'm going to count down for the 1990s. I'm going to count. I chose my three most favorite albums. What I did was I did a search of R&B albums in 1990. And out of that list, however many it was, maybe 25, I chose three. I am pretty sure that these lists are not a full comprehensive list of great R&B that dropped in the 90s. I know it can't be. And I feel like even as I was looking through them, I was missing stuff, but I couldn't figure out what it was. So I just told myself, I'm going to make this easy. Like, I'm going to just go with what I already, you know, go with what's on the list. I'm going to pick the three. And sometimes through some of these years, it was very hard to choose three. Some of these years, I kind of really only came up with two. I guess I'll like try to put, you know, I'll go back and revisit those. It was probably like two or three, maybe 2 years. I could only come up with like two. And some of the years, when I was thinking in terms of what I listened to mostly back then, you know, we not listening to him no more, you know what I'm saying? Like, but to be completely honest, like his albums would have been number one in the year of whatever year it dropped, to be honest, but we're not listening to him right now. So I went on ahead and just went on with my next best three. I mean, what I felt like my next best three was. So I wanted to put that out there. I think that's it. I think that's how it's going to go. Maybe it'll change over the next week. I'm going to be looking for y'all feedback. And I know y'all like, bitch, you didn't talk for 18 minutes. Can you please get it started? So I'm about to go ahead and get it started. So let's see. Hopefully all this shit work right. Number three, my number three most favorite album that I chose for 1990, I wonder if anybody could guess, is Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe. Okay. Poison. I done went on to hear. If y'all not, if y'all can't see this, like if you're not watching it on Spotify or if you're not watching it on like YouTube or something, like it might get banned on YouTube, but whatever. If you're not watching it, like you probably should watch it because listen, I done went on here. I done put up a little visual. I got the song list, all this up here, the album cover. Like I'm sweet. I'm feeling myself right now. I'm truly feeling myself right now. So let's talk about Poison, which was Belle Biv DeVoe's debut studio album. It was released March 20th, 1990. And I'm going to just tell y'all, I got all this information from Wiki. I hate that, to be honest. I hate it because you just never really know. Like, some of them, if it doesn't say we need more facts for this, then I feel a little bit okay. And this one doesn't say that. But sometimes it says, you know, we need more, like, facts or whatever. Just a few things about Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe, the album. Let's see. I have some stats here. Let me go down here. So it went 4 times platinum. Okay. 4 million certified units sold. Okay. That's not shabby. We all know who Belle Biv DeVoe is, right? We do know that they came from one of the biggest boy groups or boy bands or however the fuck you want to say it, New Edition. I feel like they were like the core of New Edition. And I say it all the time. So, you know, the members were Ricky Bell, Michael Bivins, and Ronnie DeVoe. And I felt like this group really, they were really able to showcase their true individual talents in this group. Okay. You know, they were with New Edition. So, you know, I want to say most popular, even though they were all popular, they all played a part, but the most popular, you know, you had Ralph, you had Bobby, you had Johnny. Like those were the main three lead singers. We know that Michael Bivins was more of like a businessman. He did a lot of the talking in the background. He sang, he danced, whatever, but he a lot of the production, like, you know, the producing stuff like that, he has stuff to do with that. He kind of reminds me of like I don't want to say better, but like a more successful kind of Devontae Swing almost. I don't know. I think that's how I feel about it. I don't know. Let me know. Put me in my place if I'm wrong. Ronnie DeVoe, like he, you know, he was on the background vocals. He really didn't. He sang, but it wasn't a sing. It was like more of a talk or a speak or whatever. He was a dancer. He loved to dance. And I don't know. I don't know if he really wrote a whole lot. He's listed on a couple of songs on here, but he definitely played a part. I feel like I can't really necessarily put my finger on exactly what the part is, but he played a part, right? And then you had my favorite of the group, my favorite of all of fucking New Edition, okay, Mr. Ricky Bell. I know I have said this shit 1,000 times, but Ricky Bell was my favorite. And I feel like especially on this album, he was able to showcase his skills. And I also think that I realized Ricky Bell was my favorite when I watched the little series that they had. What was it on? It wasn't Lifetime, was it? Whatever it was on. HBO, BET, whatever it was on. I think that's when I realized that he was my favorite. And it's mainly because the mic was turned the fuck up for him in Belle Biv DeVoe. Like, in Belle Biv DeVoe, Ricky Bell was the lead, and it was deserving, okay? And again, I'm trying not to ramble because, you know. So let's talk about it. So anyways, 4 million certified units sold. They topped the charts. Let's see. Top of the R&B and hip hop albums on Billboard. They were number one, sometime in 1990. They charted on number five on, US Billboard 200, UK, in the UK, number 35, New Zealand, 13, Canadian albums, 12, Australian, 83. So they charted really literally all around the world. And even into 1991, they reached, it reached number 33 on the US Billboard 200 and number 19 on the US top R&B hip hop, albums on Billboard. So lots and lots of accolades for them. So they had five singles. And I'm going to go down the actual list, the song list. So first was Dope. And again, I listened to this album today, and I was able to listen to it all the way through, no skips. And even the songs like Dope, like I couldn't even really, when I saw the title, I couldn't put it with, you know, I couldn't hear it in my head. But once I played it, I knew every word. So like Dope, AKA She's Dope, that was track number one. Track number two, BBD, Thought It Was Me, which was one of their singles. Looks like that single released September 18th, 1990. And then number three, Let Me Know Something. That was another one. It was that kind of like a little skit or something? Kind of, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I knew what it was when I heard it. And then, of course, you had Do Me. Do Me was a single. Let me see. I wonder if these are, no, they're in order of when they released. But anyway, Do Me released as a single in June of 1990. You had Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike, Ralph, and Johnny Word to the Mother, where they were kind of like, you know, saluting New Edition. And then you had Poison, which, you know, we still listen to Poison today. Like any big party you go to, anywhere you go, you're going to hear Poison. It just is what it is. I remember somebody on Twitter said that they was tired of hearing Poison, and I wish I would have had the same shoe that man threw at George Bush, because I would have threw it at that motherfucker. Because shut up, because we're going to hear Poison, and we're going to hear that remix version of it, which I believe is number 10 on here. Number seven, Ain't Nothing Changed. I don't know why they spelled it like that. N-U-T apostrophe I-N, whatever. Number eight, When Will I See You Smile Again? Why were there so many bangers on here? Does anybody have any answers? Do you have an answer for me? When Will I See You Fucking Smile Again? Okay, again, boom. Ricky Bell. That's really all I gotta say. I mean, he was, again, Do Me as well. BBD Thought It Was Me, all of them, okay? But where he really got his rocks off, where he really got his rocks off was number nine, I Do Need You. And I must say that I Do Need You is my favorite. Better sing that shit, Michael Bell. I mean, Ricky Bell. I said Michael Bell. I need you. Hey, come on. Lord, have mercy. Okay. All right. So I'm putting a little bit of music in there. We can hopefully y'all heard it. If not, I'm gonna have to re-record this shit. I'm not even gonna hold you, even though I tested it and all this, that, and the third. But I'm gonna have to re-record this if you can't hear the music. So, anyways, what y'all think? That was number three. We still got two more to go. I'm actually doing good on time, so I feel good. Actually, you know, I don't know. I might pass out because I ain't ate since earlier. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even gonna. Let me just get some water. Number two, for A Decade of R&B, Volume 1, the year 1990. My second favorite album is Guy the Future. Okay, I need to know if y'all remember this album. I need to know. It's not that I need to know. That y'all remember this album. It's that I need to be sure that I need to be sure that this is an album that you remember. Okay. I think this was their second. Let me see. Yes, this was their second studio album by Guy. It was released in November of 1990. And on here, it just says, like, the future had a much darker tone in stark contrast to their debut. Most of it had to do with things going on behind the scenes. And we knew this. Like, let's see. It says, a year after the release of their debut album, they fired their manager, Gene Griffin, who they claimed allocated funds from the group. The revelation angered all the members and particularly infuriated lead singer Aaron Hall so much that he didn't sing on half the album. Aaron Hall said, "There came a time when I just did not want to sing a single note. To be honest, it was the money. It was the money. It just became too depressing. We were the biggest group in the world and we were flat broke. It took its toll. As a result, Teddy Riley assumed the duties of lead vocals for the remainder of the future," which I guess that does kind of explain a few things. Like, I'm reading through this and I'm like, damn, I didn't really realize or remember that that type of shit happened, but whatever. You know, he just went on ahead and cranked that auto tune up, or, you know, he got his voice right. 'Cause y'all know Teddy really can't sing. Teddy is more of a producer. He's like a Michael Bivins. He's like a Devontae Swing. He puts everything together and he's a musician. You know, he did a whole lot of the music. Like, he was the fucking man. He still is. Still is the man. And then you had Damien Hall. You know, Damien, he could sing. He could hold a note. But he was rarely in the spotlight. Like, he was rarely, like, the one singing. Because y'all know who the fuck was singing. It was Aaron motherfucking Hall. Y'all know this. And he did that. Like, I'm so glad. Like, I'm looking at this list now and I'm so glad that he sang on the songs that he did sing on. Okay. 'Cause I just couldn't imagine it being any other way. You know, like, I just couldn't imagine. Like, could you imagine him not singing on Let's Chill? You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine him singing on, not singing on, Yearning for Your Love, or, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, let's go down the track list. Well, first, let's look at some stats. Let's see. They peaked US Billboard 200 number 16. They peaked US top R&B hip hop albums number one. And then again in 1991, they peaked at number three for the R&B and hip hop one. And then for the US Billboard 200, they peaked at number 35. It doesn't have, I don't see. Um, I don't see like what they sold. Oh, it was certified by January 1991. It was certified platinum in sales, exceeding 1 million copies. So that was in 1991. So they at least did go platinum. And let's see. Nigga, did y'all know Rex and Effects was co-producers out here? OMG. Now y'all know who Rex and Effects is. Look, I'm finding this shit out as y'all finding this shit out. Was the group that Teddy Riley put together, another group that Teddy Riley put together. I had no idea they were doing background vocals and co-produced the shit. Damn, that's dope. And then it says, Teddy Riley producer, all instruments and programming. So again, he definitely did what the fuck he needed to do. So let's go through the track list. So the track list, number one was Hurt. And again, this was another album that I definitely can listen to without skipping any. I can listen to every single song on here without skipping it and be happy with it. Not gonna lie, today I didn't, because I kept repeating the number one album that I'm about to get into here in a minute. And I ran out of time. So I listened to a couple of songs on here just to kind of like jog my memory a little bit. But that was that. So number one was Her. Number two, I Wanna Get With You. I know y'all remember that. Come on now. Number three was Do Me Right featuring the Diddly D, Heavy D. And then number four, y'all had Teddy's Jam too. So y'all know there were three versions of Teddy's Jam. The third one is actually my favorite. That's on their third album. I can't even think of the name of the third album. I think it's on their third album though. That's my favorite one. Teddy Jam 3 is my favorite one. But y'all know it's just Teddy. Aaron Hall basically on there saying Teddy Jam for me, and Teddy going to his motherfucking shit. He get his rocks off on every instrument that he owns. Okay? I need y'all to listen to that shit. Every fucking instrument he owns, he gets his fucking rocks off. What do you mean? Let's go, Teddy Riley. Like, y'all see, I'd be so excited and so fucking passionate about this shit. I'm about to have to listen to it. And then number five was Less Chill. Y'all know Less Chill is just that. It's that record. It's that record. It's that, y'all know how they be like, she's that girl. It's that record. Like, then y'all just know, like, I ain't even gonna say shit else about it. And then number six, we had Tease Me Tonight, which was a real cute, real sexy, you know, towards the end. And I was just talking about this. They had, back in the 90s, they had these songs where, like, they would be very sexy, you know, you got to put them on to get the draws playlist type of deal. But at the end, it would get like a little cringe because it was like they was doing it. You know what I mean? Like at the end, you could kind of tell some of it was, you know, pretty fake. I'm hoping that all of it was kind of fake, but it was just real cringe. Like I didn't really want to hear them like huffing and puffing on the album like that. I don't know, whatever. But Tease Me Tonight was my motherfucking shit. Dog Me Out. I don't want, she don't want to D-O-G me out. Hey, why you want to dog me out? Y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about, okay? A jam. Total Control. Okay, it's not coming to me right at this moment, but I know what the fuck it is. I listen to it when it comes on. Gotta Be a Leader. That was the one featuring Rex and Effects. Then you had The Future, and then you had Let's Stay Together, which was a motherfucking jammy jam. That was number 11. You have Where Did the Love Go? This was a long ass album. It was 72 minutes long. Good luck getting that from y'all faves. You had Yearning for Your Love. You had Smile. You had Long Gone. And then you had Want to Get With You, the club version. So what was my favorite song on this album? it was actually, like, it was very close. Let me find it real quick. It was very, 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 let me turn this down. Very, 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 very close, y'all. Like, when I say, I'm just trying to get to the part. That's why I'm still talking. I don't want to say it was a tie. I think this one came up a little bit better. I mean, like, came to me a little bit better because back then, this is the one that I listened to. That I listened to the most. Bear with me, y'all, because y'all know I don't know what the hell I'm doing sometimes. But my favorite song off the album was Smile. Hey, I'm in love. Sorry, I got to be singing loud and wrong. Come on, Aaron Hall. Hey. Oh. Hey. Listen, they gonna ban me on YouTube. I'ma just have to go ahead and dispute that shit. I'm not making no money off of this, okay? That is my motherfucking jam. Do you hear me? When I told y'all earlier songs that bring tears to my eyes, that one. Also, the runner-up, which I'm not going to play, but the runner-up was Let's Stay Together. I know everybody's favorite off of this album is between Let's Chill and Yearning for Your Love. But for me, it was the B-side tracks. It was the B, like, don't not go motherfucking hold you. That was my shit, all of it. But if I'm being 100% honest with myself, between Smile, and I listened to Let's Stay Together more now than I did back then. Like, I listened to that more now than I do Smile, but I still put Smile as my favorite. And as a matter of fact, I don't care. I'm going to just go ahead and play like a couple of seconds of it so y'all know what I'm talking about. And honestly, when I listen to that song, I feel like Aaron Hall was struggling a little bit. It sounds good. It sounds fine. But I could tell that he was like, his voice was getting like deeper or more, a little more scraggly or something. Not scraggly. It sounded good. This is no shade, but I can't think of the horse. It sounded a little hoarse. That's what I was looking for. So, yeah. So, Guy, The Future, those were my motherfucking songs. But are y'all ready? I just need to know if y'all are ready for my number one. And y'all know I don't do this. I can't. It's so hard for me to rank. And I don't know going forward on some of these years if I'm going to be able to rank. But this one I was able to do. My number one favorite R&B album from the year 1990. Again, this is a decade of R&B, volume one, year 1990. My favorite album was Johnny Gill's self-titled album. Johnny motherfucking Gill, okay? I need y'all to understand something. I need y'all to understand that bitch, if anybody says that they skip any fucking song on this album, do not talk to me. Don't do it. I don't want to hear it because, damn it, that has to be a lie. That has to be a lie. It has to be. I will not, and I'm talking shit because I'm trying to, you know, make sure that song is set up for when I need it to be set up for. But for real, I'm dead ass. Like, do not even motherfucking play me like that. So anyways, I think I got it, y'all. Boom. Right there. Yeah. Is it gonna stop? I'm not editing it. I'm not editing this out either. So I just need to make, okay, boom. That's where I need to be at. Okay. Johnny Gill, listen to me. Listen to me. 11 songs. Let me just give y'all a little background before I get into the songs. This was Johnny Gill's third album. Okay. Probably his best, in my opinion. Okay. He had a bunch of singles. Well, he had 4 singles from here, from this album. He had Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis doing some damn percussion and drums and fucking what's the word I'm looking for? Being producers on this motherfucker. He had Kenneth Babyface Edmonds on this motherfucker. Like, he had L.A. Reid on this bitch. Niggas, he had Kenny G on the saxophone. I don't know too many people that had Kenny G on their shit. Do y'all even know who Kenny G is? Don't play with me. Do not even fucking play with me. Okay. Just a bunch of, that's why this motherfucker was so good. Just a bunch of heavy hitters from the 90s. What do you mean? Okay, so boom. It peaked on the US Billboard 200 at number 8. And it peaked at on the U.S. Billboard Top R&B Albums at number 1. Let's see. What else? And this is one of the ones that says this article needs additional citations for verification. But we rolling with it. It was such a great album, y'all. It was such a great album. Like, I can't. Let's get into the track listings. And I'm going to just say my favorite last. I'm going to just say it out of order. So we have Rub You the Right Way, which was a whole ass boppity bop. Okay. A whole ass boppity bop. That's the Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis was on there. You had Fairweather Friend. Now, let me tell y'all about Fairweather Friend. When Fairweather Friend came out, and I was thinking to myself, like, 1990, damn, I was, what, 14? Okay. How old was I? No, I was 13, I think. I'm trying to do the math. However the fuck old I was, I don't know. Somewhere in there, I can't think right now. Y'all do the math for me. Fairweather Friend was my favorite song ever, right then and there at that particular moment in time. It's still up there as one of my most favorite songs. Here is why. We don't have feel-good songs anymore. We don't have that new jack, upbeat, feel-good songs that you're going to get on an R&B album in the 90s. Jodeci was great at it. 112 was great at it. People, again, like Johnny Gill was great at it. Guy was great at it. Bell Biv DeVoe, come on, great at it. Feel good music. And Fairweather Friend, yes, it was a lovey-dovey type of upbeat song, but that's what R&B was all about back then. Love, we know this, right? A fucking jam. I would sing this shit at the top of my lungs, y'all. I loved this song. I loved the video. I loved everything about it. I loved everything about this song. Still do. Wrap My Body Tight. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis on there. I know y'all. Wrap My Body Tight. Listen. Feel So Much Better. Damn, Pebbles was on that bitch too? This is what I'm saying. Just... so many. So it was Babyface wrote it, but Pebbles was on it. Like, just the whole, this makes sense. I'm like, I'm just not really kind of reading through this as I'm like, cause I kind of wanted to get like my real reaction out of all of it. Like, you know, I Googled it and, you know, made sure I had something to cite or whatever, but like, I wanted you guys to get the same reaction, like get the actual reaction from me reading this. And I didn't realize he just had so many heavy hitters on here. I just didn't realize that. Never No Love, that was Babyface and what's the name? Reed, LA Reed. And then My. I know that's everybody's favorite shit. It's an excellent song. It's iconic. Put on your red dress. It's iconic, but it's not my favorite off of the album. Just Another Lonely Night was another fucking jam. Let's Spend the Night, another fucking jam. And at the end, you know, because we don't do this too much anymore either, he had the My reprise. Like, he had that, you know, it came on and then it went off. It was like maybe a minute. Well, how long was it? Yeah, a minute and 11 seconds. We don't do that no more. It was like an interlude, but it's not an interlude because it's not about to introduce the next song. It's at the end. Like, Heat. I'm going to give you my favorite off of the album right now. But be sure. And I wonder if y'all can guess what it is. I think that y'all are going to think that the honorable mention or the very close second are actually, they kind of a fucking tie. I'm not even going to lie about it. I think I might just want to put them at a tie. But y'all are probably thinking that I'm going to play that one first. But let me play a piece of the song that... it's another song that makes me emotional. I don't know if it's the vocals. I don't know if it's the words. I don't know what it is. But this damn Giving My All, baby. You better sing that shit, Johnny. That's what you better fucking do, okay? Could you imagine anybody else singing that song? And you have to have, this is one of those songs that you just have to have appreciation for. Again, it was not one of the singles. Rub You the Right Way, My, Fair Weather Friend, and Wrap My Body Tight were all singles off this album. That was not a single off this album. And honestly, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm cool with the fact that that was not a single. Like, but it is definitely the song off of that album that gives me chills every single time. Also, the tie, the very close, like, second. It's got to be a tie. I can't put this at number two. I just cannot do it. I can't. Come on, Johnny. Did you say you want... what did he say right there? Did he say he was trying to get the draws? Is that what he said right then and there? That was that. That's what the riff was. That's what I translated it to. Take them panties off. That's what the fuck I translated it to. You about to get this business. You see how I'm looking chocolate on this album cover? You see how I'm looking at you? You about to get this motherfucker work. That's what I got from it. Okay? That's what I got from it. So, what y'all think? Y'all think y'all can y'all deal with me for another 9 episodes? Y'all gonna have to. It is what it is. This is the fuck y'all gonna get. Y'all gonna get it, okay? I didn't even go over an hour, okay? I think I did good. I'm gonna end now. I'm like starving. It's too late to eat. It's midnight, okay? But I'm gonna go downstairs and figure out what I can eat real quick. And I'm and get start getting this uploaded. So I'm excited. I'm so goofy. I hope that y'all truly enjoy this. If this is your first time here, I hope that you truly enjoy this. If you're one of the returning listeners, part of the fucking Liddy committee, welcome back. I'm so glad that you're here. Y'all got me for at least the next 9 episodes. And that's that on that. So until you hear me or see me again, peace.